One of my favorite types of Bible study is, and one of the most profitable, I think, as far as ministering and teaching us lessons to live by, is the study of Bible characters, and particularly the Old Testament characters. I've enjoyed over the years studying the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Boy, Jacob has been a real challenge to me because I'm so much like him. Elijah. And I like Elijah because Elijah, we're told in James chapter 5, Elijah is a man of like passions as we are. And Elijah is a good teaching, a good we can get good teaching on encouragement when we're depressed and discouraged. And it's most profitable to study that. I hope that you'll take it upon yourselves to do some studying of Bible characters. They're most interesting. Elijah is a man subject to like passions as we are, it says in James 5:17. And this can be clearly seen in 1 Kings chapter 19. So will you turn there, please? 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm just going to read a few of the verses. I'm not going to read all of them because we're going to look at different places in this chapter concerning the life of Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." Elijah had just enjoyed a great victory. He enjoyed a great victory. And now he was running for his life. Notice in verses 1 through 3, he became fearful. And then in verses 4 and 9 and 10, he suffered depression, tremendous depression. We're going to look at it. And then, but notice, please, in verses 5 through 8 and 15 through 18, God cared for him. And I want to say this to you. No matter how depressed or discouraged you might get, God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. God is the one who's going to care for you. He has not abandoned you. He loves you, and he will take care of you. I know, man, I've experienced it time and time again over the years. I've experienced discouragement. Notice, please, in these first three verses that we looked at, that he became fearful. Now, Have you ever wanted to quit? Have you ever wanted to quit? Have you ever found yourself a juniper tree to sit under? That's discouragement. That's defeat. That's what every one of us goes through at some time or another in our lives. Now, it doesn't have to be permanent. When it becomes permanent, you probably wind up in the mental institution or in therapy of some sort. I have sat under a juniper tree, and thank the Lord I didn't stay there. And generally speaking, any time that you and I get discouraged, it is right after we have had a great victory or we've had a great blessing from God. That'll happen. You see, Satan is a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he pays attention to what's going on. And he knows that when you have a time of victory, he knows that you're going to enjoy that and you'll forget about him and so forth. And that's just the time he strikes. That's just the time he'll come after you. Let me give you a little background, and you already know the background of this. In chapter 18, and Elijah had stood up to Ahab, a murderous king, and his wicked wife. And Elijah said, listen, gather me all of the prophets of Baal, the false prophets of Baal, a false religion, were rampant there, and so consequently, God told Elijah, I want you to get rid of that crowd. And so Elijah went to Ahab and he says, bring all those prophets up to Mount Horeb. And there on Mount Horeb, we're going to find out just who really is the God of Israel. And you know the story. The prophets of Baal tried to sacrifice and tried to call down fire from God, and it didn't work, because their God is a false God. Elijah prayed, and in the English Bible, Elijah's prayer is 54 words. You don't have to carry on in praying. God hears prayer. And so consequently, he prayed, and God sent down the fire, destroyed, ate up the sacrifice and the altar, and licked up the water in the trench. God answered the prayer, and as a result, Elijah said, get those prophets of Baal. We are destroying the religion, the false religion that you folks have been following. And when the people saw the fire fall, they said, Jehovah, he is God. Jehovah, he is God. Elijah said, get him. And so consequently, they got the prophets of Baal and slew all of them. It says 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the false religion as well. So consequently, there were probably 850 prophets, false prophets, that were killed by Elijah. And then in verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done. And Baal was the religion of Jezebel. And so consequently, she said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him just as sure as I'm standing here. So he stood up to Ahab. He destroyed the religion of Baal. He had seen God answer the prayer. And he had a great victory. But now he trembles and becomes fearful of this wicked woman. Just as God did not abandon Elijah, or has not abandoned me, he has not abandoned you. He will not, and has not, and never will abandon you. God is the only source of our encouragement. I remember many years ago, when we were starting our second church, had a young lady that I had known years before in New England, and her father died, and they were members of another church, and I went to the funeral, and these people were crying, and I understand, but they were weeping over the loss and so forth, and they needed encouragement, and you know, the minister that conducted the funeral never used a word of scripture, never used a word. And listen, people, the comfort of the scriptures is what we need in the time of our discouragement. We don't need pious platitudes and opinions and ideas. We need to have the word of God. And so Elijah was now discouraged and running away. I think of Moses at the burning bush. Moses at the burning bush was afraid. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, it says he feared when he saw that bush, and he began to make all kinds of excuses as to why he should not deliver the Israelites or stand before Pharaoh. And God told him that he was going to take care of it. God answered all of Moses' I call them excuses. They weren't reasons. You know what an excuse is, don't you? It's just a core of truth wrapped in a lie. And that's what an excuse is. There's a difference between excuse and a reason. So God answered all of Moses' problems, and Moses delivered the people on the strength of God's promises. Let me say something just quick, just step away from this minute. God has promised, I don't know how many promises there are. I knew one time how many promises there are in the Word of God. And beloved, every single one of those promises are unbreakable from God's point of view. Now, they're breakable from our point of view, but not from God's point of view. Moses needed some assurance, and God gave him certain promises. And when the Lord gave him those promises, he could go forth before before Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." That's what Jehovah has said. God promised Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14. And I'll tell you something. This verse has been a precious promise to me for years. "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And listen, it tells me in Isaiah that his rest is glorious. In Joshua, when God came to Joshua, and Joshua, he said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." But listen, when the servant is dead, that doesn't mean the promises are dead. The promises of God stand. And God told Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. But don't worry about that, because I am going to take over and you're going to do the work that I've promised him to do." And Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, "As I was with Moses, I will be with thee." Listen, people, this is what he said to Joshua. And on the strength of this promise, Joshua was able to conquer the promised land and deliver it into the hands of the people of Israel. He said, "As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So when you have a great victory and a great blessing, just remember that there might be a great defeat coming up. But just remember, "I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." The Lord has not changed, and he's not going to change. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's Psalm 27, verse 1. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. When we become fearful, what we need to do is to claim the promises. When we become discouraged, we need to rest upon the promises. Can I share a personal testimony with you? I wasn't sure whether the Lord wanted me to do this, but I'm going to do it. I think he wants me to do it. For about a month now, I have been we used to call it a blue funk. When you're just, you know what I'm talking about? And the devil was working on me. I mean, there's a lot of changes coming in my life, and And the devil was working on me, and he was just lying to me he's a liar and the father of it, Jesus said. And he was working on me and so forth. And the climax came this past week. I was really defeated. I was really discouraged. I was ready to quit everything. I was fed up with things. You know what I'm talking about? And I heard it on BBN, on one of the preachers on BBN. I heard he quoted Luke chapter 22, just before Jesus was to go to the cross. In Luke chapter 22, and verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 22, turn there, if you will. Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. When I heard this, somehow the Spirit of God applied these verses to my heart, and everything changed. What does it say? Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." Now that's not very encouraging, but the next phrase is, Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." And boy, though, that lit up in my heart like I never could imagine. To think that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the right hand of the Father praying for me. Can you imagine? He said that to Simon. Yes, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And if he said that to Simon, he says that to me. He says that to you. Amen? Excuse me for getting excited, but that's an exciting thing. You have no idea the peace and the rest that came into my heart as a result of what I heard from Luke chapter 22. I hope you'll underline those in your Bible if you haven't done so, and refer to them every so often. Refer to them every so often. So first of all, he became fearful. And because he became fearful, he did not claim the promises of God. Now, he didn't have all the promises that we and I have, but he had enough of them that he could have leaned upon them. Just that promise that God gave to Moses, "My presence shall go with thee," he could have leaned upon that, and that would have given him victory in his depression. But he didn't, and as a result, he suffered depression. Look at verse 4. "But he himself," Elijah, "went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" It's enough. Well, you listen, that's depression. When you sit under a juniper tree and you say, "God, I've had it. Take away my life." Depression and discouragement will do that to you. Make you want to quit. Make you wish. Listen, he went himself into the built wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. If he really wanted to die, he should have stayed where he was, because Jezebel would have helped him out with that. She had promised she'd kill him, you know. But depression and discouragement will do that to you. Now notice, please, in verse 9. I'm going to jump down to verse 9. In verse 9, he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? You shouldn't be here, Elijah. You should be out there taking care of things like I've told you. In verse 10, he answered the Lord, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, and for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thine altars. They've slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and to take it away. What depression will do to you, it'll bring you to the place of saying, well, I'm all that's left. It's poor old me. Folks, have you ever had a pity party? There's one thing wrong with a pity party. The only people that ever come to your pity party are me, myself, and I, and that's lousy company. It really is. So he's having a little pity party. He says, oh, it's only me. I'm the only one here. I'm the only one left. He's having a pity party. It's never the answer. God cared for him. Notice, please, in verse 5. Back to verse 5, if you will. In verse 5, he said, and as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel spoke to him and said unto him, arise and eat. Arise and eat. And he looked, and there was a cake baking with the coals, a cruse of water. He was had everything that he needed there. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord said to him, wait a minute, that's not enough. You got a long journey ahead of you. You better have some more. So God cared for him. God took care of him. God did not let him just stay there and become any more depressed than he was. God cared for him. God provided food for him. God provided company for him, that angel talking to him there. Notice that God did not remove the source of his discouragement. In fact, Jezebel outlived him. Sometimes we want to have the discouragement removed, the source of the discouragement renewed, but people, sometimes God wants to leave the source of it there so that we can learn to walk with him and to trust him. Remember what Luke 22, verse 31 says? I have prayed for thee, not that you would not become defeated, but I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. God wants to develop your faith, and God wants to develop my faith. God wants to make us strong in faith and belief. So God sometimes we'll keep the discouragement there until we learn what God wants to do in our lives. That's the key. What does God want to do in our lives? He does not necessarily remove, but to live with it and allow God to be the victor in that particular situation. So he gave him rest for his fatigue. Gave him rest for his fatigue. He says, rest, here's some food, take a rest. You've got some traveling to do. He had traveled for 12 hours in the wilderness and was certainly in need of rest. So sometimes we just need to take a day off. I've told a couple of my co-workers at Ambassador, sometimes you just have to say no. Now that's advice that I should have followed many years ago, but I didn't. But sometimes you just have to say no. I read someplace that probably the most spiritual thing you could do is to take a nap. Now, not now or during the service, but sometimes that's the most spiritual thing that you can do, just to rest. Jesus told his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Rest a while. When you rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have real rest. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not thyself because of he who prospereth in his way, or in the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Don't worry about those guys. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't worry about what this fellow's going to do, or what that person's going to do, or what that preacher's going. We spend so much time figuring out how apostate some of these new evangelicals are that we don't spend the time in the Lord and learning of him rather than learning of the others. Jesus said, "Tell me, come yourself apart." So first of all, he gave him rest for his fatigue. Secondly, he gave him reassurance for his fear. You'll notice, please, in verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The journey is too great. You and I can't handle it. We've got to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're going to becoming unglued and discouraged and defeated and wanting to quit. So, entertaining fears allows Satan to bring them to pass. Sometimes God says, fear not, fear not. In fact, it's some 450 times in the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, God says, fear not, fear not. Job said, the thing that I greatly feared hath come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. He feared for his children, for his fortune, and so forth. And when his fearing about it and concerned about it, Satan saw to it that it came to pass. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Again, if I can get personal for just a moment. During the last days of my wife's life here on this planet, she oftentimes would talk about being afraid of this and afraid of that. And I quoted that verse to her many, many times. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but if God has given us a spirit of love, we need to focus our minds on the promises of God, not on the circumstances around us. If you and I look at the circumstances, we will always be defeated. We will always become discouraged. So God gave him rest for his fatigue. God gave him reassurance for his fear. And God gave him an answer for his frustration. Look at verses 8 through 12 in our scripture. Verses 8 through 12. And he, Elijah, arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. They seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth. God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, watch this now, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Notice now, and after the fire, a still, small voice. A still, small voice. He went to Horeb, the Mount of God. Why Horeb? Why would he go to Horeb? Well, Horeb was one of the mountains in the Sinai chain. And Horeb was the place where God had given the law to Moses. That's where Moses met with God and the law was given to him. When you're discouraged, when I'm discouraged, we need to go to God through the Word of God and prayer. When you go to God, He makes clear that the real problem is self. We don't like to hear that. I think, oh, I'm pretty good. It can't be me. It is. It is me. And it is you. Our real problem is self. Elijah's problem was not Jezebel. It was his response to the problem. Notice his pity party that he had, that we talked about earlier. His pity party didn't answer, didn't help with anything at all. So God had to answer him, and God let him know that it wasn't just that he is all alone, that he is without anybody, that he's all, here I am, poor old me, just me and myself and I, and what a terrible situation I'm in. There's nobody else that loves God but me. You ever been there? So God gave him rest for his fatigue. God gave him reassurance for his fear. And God gave him an answer for his frustration. But now God gave him direction for his futility and his future. Look at the chapter and verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meloch, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. So he gave him direction for his futility and for his future. He just told exactly what was going to be happening. God spoke in a still, small voice, and he told him what he was to do. The record is clear that Elijah did exactly what God told him to. So God provided for Elijah, and he provides for all of his children. In any kind of discouragement that we might find ourselves, just remember that God is there with us. We're not alone. The key to victory is not God's provision. You got that? The key to victory is not God's provision. It is instead, because God's provision is always there, but the key to victory is our appropriation by faith of what God has provided for us. So God gave him rest and Elijah slept. God gave reassurance and Elijah ate and drank. And God gave direction and Elijah departed. So since God has provided all that we need to be encouraged, rest, take a day off, take your Bible and search out the verses of strength and comfort and encouragement and challenge, and make them your own. Don't sit under a juniper tree. It's not a good place to be. Instead, be still and know that He is God. I've got some handouts here on dealing with discouragement. It goes into a little more detail of what God will provide for you. And I wonder if somebody will pass them out. Jim, would you help me with this, please? Oh, well, you got a bunch of them. Just give one to each person. And I hope that will be a help to you, not just that, but what we've seen in the Word of God. And I have to say this, folks. If you're so busy that you can't hear that still small voice, don't go looking for thunder and lightning. Just look to God and be quiet. When you're quiet, you can hear what He's saying. Father, I thank You so much.